podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Yeah, you gotta laugh. Welcome back to podcast Thanks. Greater Than Yourself. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
I am known in these parts as John Barleycorn, and with me today, my guest, Astrid H.
Thanks, John.
Crack one open for Astrid H.
Mm. Oh, God, thanks. Thanks for that.
Coca-Cola Zero that? Sugar Vanilla.
Vanilla. Look at you all fancy over there.
Yeah. I think it's sober.
Of course it is. What do you mean you think it's sober?
Yeah. So welcome. So I haven't told you too much about this segment that we're doing, but this is kind of just like an excuse for me to catch up with people I like and to do it on the on the podcast. You and I sort of we exchange voice notes in iMessage that could range from 5 minute long to 45 minute long voice notes.
I love our conversation.
Yeah, so we stay pretty informed. So I'm not expecting any massive bombshells, but you often surprise me, so I'm down.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm calling this little segment, One Alcoholic Talks with Another Alcoholic. Mm. So.
Very clever. Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So first off, you're an alcoholic, right?
Sure am.
Perfect. Awesome. I'm learning something new.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically all I'm doing is I've got like a list of things and I kind of want to know how you would rank them. And basically they're recovery related. Some of them are directly big book related, meeting related, and some of them are just like tangentially recovery related. We'll get into it. You'll see. But yeah, how's that sound? You ready?
Good. Yeah, I am. Let's I feel like this is some kind of exam.
See, this is why I was trying to warn you. I was trying to warn you in advance. I'm like, there's no pass fail. There's nothing, no bell curve involved. It's just like, hey, what do you think of this? There's like, you fail by not thinking. That's it. You just go, well, I don't think.
I have been known to do that.
I refuse to think. All right. Well, I think you'll get the hang of it.
Sounds good.
So in the first chunk, I want to know if you think these things are overrated or underrated.
Okay. Deal.
So the first one is recovery memes.
Doesn't matter. I mean, to some people, right? I guess, sometimes they're funny, they're comical, so they do make mm-hmm. me laugh. Other times I do find them just completely overrated because they're not comical at all, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can also understand for somebody who's maybe scrolling through Instagram or whatever platform, and maybe they come across one and maybe that helps them, so I can understand from that point of view. But, you know, I could live with them or without them,
right,
so.
Yeah. There's definitely some...
I'm not sure that it really helped my recovery, let's put it that way. Yeah.
It's interesting. The answers to this one have been interesting because some people are
really?
Like, yeah, some people are just like, yeah, I found my sponsor through recovery memes and I recovered.
I mean, I guess from my perspective, right? And perhaps perhaps I'm too old school. Like, perhaps I'm just not like with the young and the hip, you know, these kids these days.
Yeah.
The way I got sober, right, wasn't very creative at all. Right? I was given a book. I was told to get a sponsor. It wasn't, I mean, actually I was assigned a sponsor to some extent. It wasn't much, I didn't have much of a choice. It was just, this is how it is.
Yeah.
That, you know, like memes and stuff, like that wasn't a thing then. I don't think it was, at least. It wasn't mainstream, at least.
Right.
So to find a sponsor through, I mean, that's like incredibly creative. I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Big ups. I, cool. Yeah. I think back in the day, the equivalent to recovery memes was like the little jokey comic picture thing in the grapevine.
Yes.
That's like that's like
sure.
Proto recovery memes. and largely not funny at all.
Do people even know what the grapevine is these days? Like, is this something?
I honestly, that's actually a really good question, because like, I wonder if people think of it like, oh, that like they don't think about it, you know, like the rest of the shit at the beginning of the meeting. Like a lot of meetings, people be like, our grapevine rep Tommy's going to tell a joke from the grapevine, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, so you go to meetings, there's like a routine, and it's like almost where you like veg out, like mentally not really focused on what's being read. Like if you actually read the words to how it works, it is incredibly powerful. But you go to so many of these meetings and people just read it really fast and you're super nervous because now you have to read the 12 steps and you want to make sure you're not going to screw them up in front of everybody.
Right.
And you miss the whole point of how it works, right? So I feel like, it might be similar to people announcing who the grapevine rep is, and it's just more of, oh, I don't know what that is, but okay.
I think
we have one of those.
I think the grapevine is largely anachronistic. It's like, like when somebody holds their pinky and thumb up to do a phone, but you know what I mean? But like
versus,
no one, exactly. Yeah.
But, versus the iPhone version. Yeah.
But no one has a fucking phone like that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Or they like, you know, hold up the imaginary phone thing and start doing the like pokey thing with their finger to dial. It's like that. They're just like, people don't think about it. They're just like, oh, grapevine rep. Wait, they never go, what the fuck is the grapevine?
Yeah, it makes me wonder where AA will be, and I don't know how many years from now, but I'm just curious. I saw this this video on Instagram, I think, a few weeks ago that was like, I don't know, a group of teens or tweens trying to figure out how to put a CD in its case. You know, I mean, they were struggling hard, right? It makes me wonder, how will AA adapt, right? Or will we not?
I'll tell you one thing that I know will not happen. Nobody will be saying, I found my sponsor on the metaverse. Because fucking no one's using that shit. Okay. All right. Let's one more or eight more, but let's go. Next one. Next one. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Step studies.
Under.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a comment here. So I think they're overrated in terms of meetings, as in an actual AA meeting, because you know, a certain meeting will declare itself a step study.
Right.
Right. You go to that meeting, and I've gone to so many throughout the years. I sit there and I'm like, what the hell is this? This is not a step study. Right. Like, this is not in this book. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Right. So in that case, over, right? But the only way that I actually got help was actually studying the steps through, like, sitting down with a sponsor or a group of people and actually diving into the steps.
Yeah.
So it depends how, you know, like what you mean by step study.
Right.
Like, you see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's a complicated answer to sort of simple question.
No, it's exactly what I want.
If a step study is, if the term step study is meant in how we're using it today, then totally overrated. If it's what it's actually supposed to be, then I'm 100% all for it. Completely underrated. And we need more of those.
Nice. All right. Okay. Overrated.
You regret having me on here.
No, I love it. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. I love it. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Sober celebrities.
So you're referring to the ones that declare that they're sober, like not the ones that declare they're in AA?
Whatever comes to mind.
I really don't care, so under.
Yeah.
No, I'd say it's overrated. Yeah. Okay. That doesn't really, whatever.
Who gives a shit, right? Okay.
Basically, yeah. Like, if they're helping others, good for them, you know?
Yeah.
But if they're not, then okay. Well.
Right. Okay.
But to be honest with you, so what came to my mind were like Hollywood celebrities, right? But there's also like, let's say local celebrities.
Ooh.
Or like speaker circuit celebrities,
yeah.
Right? So that's where like my mind went. Are you referring to Hollywood or like the more local? And the Hollywood celebrities, completely overrated. But to be honest, the local ones, kind of overrated too,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah, what are your thoughts?
That's my opinion.
What are your thoughts around, because I think most people with this question have answered about like, you know, oh, Matthew McConaughey is sober. Or what? I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think he's sober.
Sure.
But what?
If it is, good for him.
Right. But I think what you're talking about is like Ernie J from Pasadena, California, speaking at the 38th conference of whatever, you know. So what are your thoughts around that specific type of sober celebrity?
I'll give it to you straight, right? Which is probably going to cause some issues. To be honest with you, I think people fall into this whole, oh my God, Ernie is speaking, I have to go. Sometimes it makes me wonder, when you pray at night, are you praying to God or are you praying to Ernie? Right? Because like, it's like what Ernie says, you follow to the T, right? It's like, this guy's a living legend. God forbid that you don't follow a suggestion that Ernie has to say, right? But are you putting that much effort into your nightly prayer? Are you putting that much effort into your review every day? Mm. Are you putting that much effort into helping somebody else? And I can probably guarantee the answer is no. Now, if you are, good for you. Like, awesome, right?
Yeah.
And you have an idol. It's great. But most people aren't, right? So I'm not a fan.
I got to say, I'm so happy I randomly said Ernie, because that was, we made that even funnier.
Yeah, when you first said Ernie, I thought, what?
Who the fuck is Ernie? Yeah. Ernie McConaughey, Matthew's brother?
Okay. Obviously.
Right. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Going through the big book line by line.
I would say overrated on the first pass.
Like a newcomer?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a lot. That's a lot for like, you and I, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot for a new person to have to understand all this, right? So definitely over. I just don't think it's necessary for somebody who is just trying to grasp and put one foot in front of the other, right? And trying to not fuck up their lives in every way possible, right? And trying to get this thing. And we're sitting and bombarding them with, well, here it says recover, not recovering. I mean, Jesus, right? Like they don't get it. But I can understand somebody who wants to really know everything and they won't choose to do that, then go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine you're just like, you're like in the shakes and somebody's like, all right, now you see that dictionary, pull that over here. We're going to look up musket.
Oh my God.
On page one, we're going to look up musket.
Jeez.
Oh
yeah,
wow.
That's too much.
Right. Okay.
This is how we scare people away.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Grand sponsors.
Over.
Yeah.
What's the point? Like, who cares? Oh yeah. You can also add sponsorship families there. How does that help me stay sober?
Yeah.
You know,
do some snaps for you.
I can barely hear them. But you know, I understand the premise, right, of having a community around you.
Yeah.
But we should have that anyway.
Right.
It's sad that people don't have that, right? And and I've also had that issue, that depending on which city I've lived in, right, that the AAs there or the program there, that the way that people understand it is maybe not conducive to what's in the big book.
Yeah.
Right. So you end up not having that community. So I understand where I think they were trying to go with that, but boy, they went the whole wrong way. Yeah. So incredibly overrated.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like an offshoot or a cousin to the type of sober celebrity we were talking about. Like people become personalities within their little realm of the fellowship. And it's like, it's like, what a fucking, what a way to miss the target.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like there's also this, like, what's the word? Maybe nobility or from ego, right? Uh-huh. That comes with, well, Ernie's my sponsor, right? He, you know, like he's my grand sponsor, right? So somehow, because I'm part of this lineage, that my recovery now is more superior than maybe yours, right? Yeah. Which is like, what?
Get a little bit right? of that Ernie magic.
Yes. And to be honest, I think it's one example in the rooms, right? But I think it also happens in everyday life, right? If you're part of a certain group or division at work, it's like, well, my division is better than your division.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're paid the same, buddy, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. You know, so I think it's almost, to some extent, it's human nature. Another extent, it's like, well, with us, specifically like alcoholics, I think that's extremely dangerous, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Serenity.
The word or the term, or what it actually means? The way you said that just made me question it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it brings to mind for you. You're doing great so far, let me tell you.
Thank you.
You're like 10 out of 10 so far. You're doing great. Loving it.
I would say underrated, what it actually means, but the term is used incredibly overrated.
Yeah.
People just toss that out like left and right. And it's like, you know, what's funny to me, I don't know if you're ever sitting in a room and you have these like, let's call them old timers, right? Or people that have been around for a long time, not necessarily in the steps of the book a long time, but in the rooms. And I feel like they toss out like honesty and serenity and gratitude left and right. And yet when they talk, I'm like, my God, you are so aggressive. It's like you have this like demeanor of aggression and you're like hostile essentially. Right. It's like you have nothing I want.
Yeah.
Like, what book are you reading?
Yeah.
You know? Yet they're tossing serenity out left and right. So when you first said it, I went straight there. Like, I think we're overusing the word, but the concept of serenity is really something that is truly beautiful, right?
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. So I'll go with under on that one.
Okay. Overrated or underrated? Steps 6 and 7.
I would say underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of get tossed aside, kind of like just do them real fast, move on.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like you do 4, run to do 4 and 5, let's say that. Then you run to 9. It's like, well, there's a reason why they broke them apart, right? They could have lumped them all together. I'm not saying spend 9 years on them. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not saying spend 9 months on them or even 9 days. What I'm saying is that they do get overlooked, right? There is an intention for them. They do get overlooked and we jump straight to 9 and people fuck up 9 left and right. And I think it's because you're screwing up everything in between.
Mm. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Not sure. Okay.
And just one more thing.
No, go ahead.
I also feel like sitting in them for a long time is a great way for you not to do 9.
Yes.
So, and, do you know what I mean? It's a nice little parking spot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, I wrote a lot. I talked a lot with my sponsor. This is exhausting. I'm going to park it here in like, you know, 6 to 7, maybe 8. I once had a sponsee who, she was doing step 8 for like years. Like, can you even grasp that? Like,
no.
What? Right? So I think those, the steps in between, let's say the bigger ones, right? Like 4, 5, and 9 are overlooked, but also there at least is a parking space a little bit, basically kind of relax.
Right.
So they get, you know, like they get a I don't know if bad rap is the right terminology, but they kind of get looked aside.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I think about or talk about what you're, you know, the sort of amends pause, it's honestly like people. I would say the majority of people I quote unquote lose or whatever, who were actually doing stuff, like who were actually, you know, taking direction, like doing the shit that the book suggests, like actually doing it. The vast majority of the ones who make an actual start and then, you know, disappear, they disappear there, like at 8 and 9.
Always.
And it's just like, it's just, it's, I talk about it a lot, I think, probably on the podcast, but it, I think, in one sense, it, like, I get it, because, like, that's fucking scary, but in another sense, I don't get it.
The amends is scary.
Yeah. In another sense, I don't get it for two reasons. One, this is where the book describes, like, the spiritual experience happening in the 9th and 10th step promises, right? And the second reason is, like, you have it, if you've done the steps with me, right? I'm just talking about people I'm doing this with. You've had conversations where you've been like, I am totally fucked, and you relate.
Yes.
You know, endless experiences from your own history that illustrate, like, you are hopeless, and you've had an experience where you're like, you know, when, by the time you're at 7, 6, 7, 8, where you're like becoming aware of the stuff that's actually in your way. And when you're on the other side of a 5th step and 6 and 7, you've got all of the knowledge of all that stuff that's actually what's blocking you. And you have direct, concrete list of people you could immediately start being helpful to like throw yourself into. I kind of feel like that's when you like put the cake in the oven. Step 9. It's like, cause you're really at that point, you're just like 5 can be really scary. Sure. But like you have all this shit and it's all mixed up. And then you just put it in the oven. You're like, yep, I'm going to just cook it and just like, you know, it's not my business.
Walk
what happens
away.
In the oven molecularly. Right. And so like, I get why it's scary to do amends, but like, I don't get how you have the experience of all that stuff before it. And then you go, yeah, you know, I think I'm not going to do that. You know, it's when people ask me for, well, how did you like, you know, psych yourself up and to go, I'm just like, I didn't have to. What do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So as you were talking, what was running through my mind was, if I really look at how people do the steps, this is obviously a generalization, which cannot be applied to everyone, certainly. But if what I'm about to say to you triggers you, it'd be something to look at. Right? So people come to the rooms because they're fed up, right? They're at their lowest, or they were told to come in, or people were frustrated with them, you know, fill in the blank. They come in, they then either fight the idea of God, and then they just end up saying, you know what, fine. Or they go, you know what, yeah, a God exists, because, you know, I went to, you know, Catholic school when I was a kid, or like my mom is really religious, and my family is really religious. I go to Sunday school when I was a kid, whatever, right? So, okay, fine. 4, I don't really want to write 4, but I'll do it. 5 is a little bit tense, because now you have to read all this, you know. 6 and 7, thank God for the break. Thank God.
Right.
9, ooh, I really don't want to crawl in front of, I really don't want to crawl up to somebody and have to apologize, because they, you know what, they hurt me too.
Right.
You know, like they hurt me too. I really don't want to get punished by them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do a few, the ones I feel comfortable doing. And then I'm going to jump straight to 12 because I pray, you know, it's fine. So I'll just go and like help other people do steps because I've already walked through them. Mm-hmm. Right. what I find is those are the people that I was referring to earlier. Like they just don't have what I'm looking for. Right. They don't have that sense of serenity. They don't have that sense of life. Like they don't have that sense of wanting to learn more, not just about AA and the program and its history and its intention, but about life. Mm. You know, these people are forming these cliques and they're falling in love with these, you know, celebrities, right? That are in the rooms. It's like, this is not what the program is about at all, right? If you look at, and, you know, obviously I didn't, you know, I wasn't around when Bill and Bob were, but from my understanding, right, that I think Bill enjoyed the spotlight a little bit, I don't think Dr. Bob very much did, right? But if you look at some of the numbers, and again, who knows if these are right, this guy was helping so many people.
Yeah.
You know, he was out there doing the work, right? To the best of his ability. He might not have been this like saint, but he was doing it, right? And I strive to be more like Bob than Bill.
Yeah,
right?
But Bob died first, so who's the sucker?
Obviously, Bob. Because he didn't believe in Ernie the way Bill did. I know. Yeah, and you know, I guess from my personal experience, I feel like since we're discussing 9, right, and I've also come across that people don't finish step 8.
Yeah.
It's really like...
That's a big
unbelievable,
thing.
Unbelievable, right?
Especially when you sit through a fifth step with someone... And then you're just like, I'm sorry, you got 4 names on your 8-step list? What's happening right now?
Yeah. Think about how many people you come across like on your in your daily life, right? It's nothing more than 4. Yeah, in your whole drinking career, you've only had 4 bad like interactions. Like, really?
I just really? Heard you complain about shocking. 700 people.
I know. Like every time I talk to you, you're bitching about somebody else. Yet somehow, only 4 are on there. That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also interesting. You know, people. You know, so even if people write along, you know, 4th, and they discuss the long 5th, they still don't finish their 8-step list. Like they'll be in the rooms for years, decades, and then don't finish that list. Like, what a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame.
I don't get it.
Yeah, same.
That's where I always fall. It's like I don't get doing the first chunk of steps and not having that propel me into the rest of it, just becoming my life. Unless you left out some shit at the beginning. Like, unless you really just don't, and this is what it always goes back to, unless you really just think maybe there's just another option than doing it, you know? Meaning...
Then go do that!
Yeah, meaning you don't really believe step 1 applies to you, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it basically then we're doing John and Astrid's version of AA, not AA, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, good luck. I'll say to that.
You heard it here first. We're dropping the John and Astrid program. Look for it at
the next edition.
Yeah, aathenextgeneration.org. Okay. All right. Overrated or underrated? The meeting after the meeting.
Oh, that's a good question. Over or underrated? The meeting after the meeting. I would say it's perfectly rated.
Accurately rated.
Correct.
Nice.
It's moderately rated. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I've been, you know, after like, the meeting after the meeting, and you're actually really going and discussing, or people are asking questions, and it's, man, that's it becomes really powerful. Other times, it's such a waste of time, right? But I feel like it kind of balances out, right? It depends on who you're around, what the topic is. So I'd say in the middle.
Cool. All right.
Sometimes I really enjoy them. Other times, can't stomach them. It's like, you know, same. When you have this like really good meeting, you know, or it's not a good meeting. It's just like, whatever, right? It's just not anything special. And after the meeting, you know, or let's say a newcomer, a bunch of newcomers raise their hand that they're new or they announce themselves or whatnot, that a single soul approaches them, yet they're talking about, oh my God, did you see, you know, the Michigan versus Ohio State game? That's crazy. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like unbelievable, right? So kind of depends.
There's a really specific, I don't want to shit on these people specifically, but what came to my mind was
who,
like,
Michigan?
No. I couldn't care less about that. No, the like YPAA people, where they're like, where you see one of them like approaching people who you know and you like heard of the meeting or like knew,
yeah,
and they're approaching them, but they're like, hey, are you guys coming to the world record banana split competition event for YPAA? You know, and it's just like,
oh my God,
this is what you're doing with your energy right after the meeting for these new people. You're fucking monopolizing their time with this shit.
Correct.
Get the fuck out.
Oh, you gotta, my God, get in the middle of the canoe. Is having, yes. Or like, this meeting is having an anniversary. It's like, yeah, it happens every year. Like, I don't know. If one of your questions should be anniversary meetings, you should add that for the next people you talk to.
Hell yeah.
It is incredibly, and it's so overrated, it's off the chart. Like, I can't even discuss it without I will burst a blood vessel in my eye. I swear to you, I don't get the hype. I really don't. Like, who cares?
Me and Sylvia, she's Sylvia on the podcast. She lives here, and sometimes we'll go to meetings together. We're about to start doing some treatment center meetings together again. But
awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. We linked up to go to this group's anniversary, because I was like, there will be a lot of people there and it'll just be an opportunity for us to like see a bunch of new people and maybe like, you know.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
But like, we went and it was like such a vibe that we left. Just like immediately left. We're like, let's just go eat Thai food. That like, me and you having a conversation and eating pad Thai will be more useful to the universe than us sitting through this.
Honest to God, I have never went to an anniversary meeting where it has ever done anything for me or a newcomer. I've never seen it. Personally, I was
thinking that there'd be like druggy buggies, you know, there'd be like treatment center vans or something, like, you know, they bring in a bunch of them, but yeah, we didn't see any. So it was like, oh, this is fucking awkward.
Yeah. So I'll say like one caveat to my saying it's overrated. If there's a lot of newcomers that you can potentially help, right, then I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Completely for it.
Yeah.
But in general, hate them. Hate that.
Well, it's just going to be some dingleberry telling their story for an hour. Dingleberry.
No, it's another. It's another Ernie.
Yeah.
Ernie's cousin Dingleberry is going to be telling
Ernie D. Story. Ernie D.
Ernie D.
All right. Okay.
Correct.
Overrated or underrated?
Yes.
Gratitude.
Underrated.
Okay.
Same answer as Serenity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we use the word a lot, but I'm not so sure that people actually live it.
Right. Yeah.
No.
It's. I think it is.
Sad.
It's another one of those anachronistic things where it's like that has become placeholder for like, you know, insert
everything.
Yeah, insert recovery jargon, cliche platitude here. It's just like, well, gratitude. You know.
Yeah. It's almost like, have you ever heard or seen or even experienced conversations where you'll see, let's say, somebody who has not walked through the 12 steps and they're going to call their sponsor, right? So all day they're like in this like crazy state. They're acting like a complete asshole. Nothing has changed, by the way. When they were drinking to now, they're the same person. Like nothing has changed. They call their sponsor and the right thing to say is, oh my God, Susie, I feel so grateful today. Like, what? Right? Because that's the right answer. That's the right answer. We should all be, you know, if you're grateful, right? If you feel gratitude, then you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay. You know?
I feel profoundly grateful. Like when I think of a type of scenario like you just said, profoundly grateful that I didn't receive the kind of sponsorship that I hear being presented.
Oh, yes.
As, like, most times, yeah. people talk about their sponsors like it's like, firstly, way more than I'm capable of or interested in doing for anyone, but also it wouldn't have helped me if I had like met someone and then when I called them, instead of being like, yeah, well, let's meet and review the 4-step directions and you get started on that. Instead of that, they're like, well, hey, man, sounds like you need to reframe that shit. Get into gratitude. You know what I mean? Like, just this weird, like, life coach kind of fucking thing.
Yeah, like, but even the statement that you just said, get into gratitude, right? It's like think about how stupid that is. Say that to a newcomer, right? I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. Right. If they could get into it, oh my God, like, you know, just jump into serenity.
Right.
Jump into it. Wisdom.
Yeah.
Jump head first, buddy. Head first, right? It's like we only know 3 words in the world. I guess we know the traditions, we know steps, we know gratitude, serenity, and wisdom. 5 words. And we keep recycling that over and over again. And they're such great topics, right? Mm-hmm. And such great things to experience and go through, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we end up abusing them, yeah. right? But they're such underrated topics because they're actually, like, you know, if I really sit here and think about my journey through, I mean, even my drinking, I'm very grateful for my drinking. I really am because it got me to where I am today.
Sure.
Right. I'm grateful for all this stupid stuff I did, you know, in recovery and all the smart things I did in recovery too. Right. All the people I've met and all the people that are still in my life, all the people that left. I'm very grateful for the whole process. Hmm. Right. But sometimes it can be frustrating, right? When you go to a meeting and 5 words are just being recycled over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, can we just stop, please? You know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Overrated or underrated? The 9th step promises.
I think they're... Okay, so they're overrated, right? Mm-hmm. Because people think they're the only promises.
Right.
But promises, including the 9-step promises, are not overrated, right? Mm-hmm. They do occur. They happen. I've experienced it. So I've ton of other people, right? So I do love the promises, but I do think we talk a lot about the 9-step promises. It's like... Right. We talk about them to people who aren't even near the 9th step. But it's like, what?
Right.
You know, these people are like, you know, it's just a little bit wild from that end, you know?
It's so weirdly out of context to be like, turning what is essentially like, Here's what the cake should look like when it comes out of the oven into like just a beautiful piece of prose. It's like, yeah, here's just a little aphorism. This is just a little greeting card, a little poem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This might brighten your day, get you into gratitude.
Yeah, agreed. And I do understand wanting to, let's say, like foreshadow. And like, if you do this work as outlined in this book, right, this is what may happen to you, right? But I also feel like when you do this work, it's different for everybody, right? So maybe some of your experiences, once you get and complete the 9th step or the 10th step or whatever, you know, you might have different promises that came true in your life. I don't know, right? Perhaps that's something that can happen, right? Yeah. So I do think sometimes people, I've had a sponsee once sit down with me and go over the promises. Go, I don't know if I feel every single one of these all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, geez, you know, I think you missed the point here, right?
Yeah.
So I like them, right? Yeah. I mean, I think they're powerful. It's similar to what I was saying with how it works, right? I think it's a very powerful part of the book. But I think we just abuse and use it over and over and over again, right? Then it becomes this thing that we memorize.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold much value. So for that reason, it's overrated.
What about the dudes? And it's almost always guys in meetings who are like,
Well, those aren't the only promises, you know. There's promises all through this book.
And then they like go on for 10 minutes in their share, like cherry picking these different little random things in the book. And like, well, here's a promise. Well, there's a prom. And then they do the like, and then this is a prom. And then they read like bad stuff. They're like, this is a anti-promise or just like, what is happening, dude? Like, can we get off? Can we move on, please?
Yeah. So for anyone who's listening to us, and if you've listened to us for however minutes, you know, however many minutes that we've been talking already, from my understanding, a promise is anything that gives you hope, right? And so I find those people annoying personally, but I get their point, right? I mean, like, they're not wrong. There's promises everywhere.
Yeah.
Right, but it does get annoying when they're sitting there like reading every single one of them, like, oh geez, you know, like, can this end already? But just because it gives you hope doesn't mean it gives somebody else hope. Right, so on the first what's that page called, not the front page of the hardcover, but the title page of the book, like inside, perhaps title page, it says something, I'm gonna butcher it completely because I don't have a memory like that, where it says Alcoholics Anonymous, like a story of how a few hundred men and women recovered from alcoholism or something like that. What a message of hope, right? You know, what a promise, right? So it's saying if you do this work outlined in Alcoholics Anonymous, which you're about to read, you'll recover just like these people did. Right? Like, how is that not a message of hope? How is that an inspiring? You know, of course it is. But people tend to focus on these are the nine step promises. They're the best. It's like, well, for a person who hasn't gotten there, right? They're like they don't get it, right? And it's overwhelming. So no, it's kind of sad, but I really do enjoy the nine step promises. You know, if you really read them, in how they're written, right? That they are pretty cool.
Yeah, especially experiencing them.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for a long time, I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand how some of them were occurring in my life. You know, and sometimes I feel like they have to be almost translated. You know, there is a difference in how people spoke when the book was written versus how we speak today, right?
Yeah.
So I do think it does take a sponsor that really does know this work to be able to say, well, this is what this means. And, you know, can you think of some examples? Maybe this is happening in your life or it's not, right? And sometimes things are occurring around you and you may not see it. And for somebody to point that out for you is also pretty cool.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next section here.
Okay.
We're going to do some power rankings. So I want to know what your top tier is in each of these categories. So it doesn't have to be the best ever. Just something top tier. Okay.
Okay.
So first up, top tier caffeinated beverage.
I'm sensitive to caffeine, so none of them. Water. You know what's funny is you give me liquor, I'm good, right? You give me caffeine, my stomach is like, no, no, no. I swear to you, it's like my heart will come out of my chest if I have more than like a measuring cup of coffee. So it's so funny, right? Give me liquor, I'm good, right? Or at least I thought it was, right? Give me caffeine, no.
I don't fuck with coffee, and like it's been really surprising to me how many people have just straight up been like, coffee, regular coffee. Like I just like, I don't.
Oh, I have an answer. I would say a Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, like maybe, yeah, there you go, yeah. Like, you know, if you're eating pizza or something, like it's awesome, right? Yeah. But I don't drink it enough, really. It's something I maybe drink, I don't know, once or twice a year.
All right, we'll call it Coke then.
Coke, yes. My God, how lame am I?
All right, okay. Top tier, AA speaker.
Top tier AA speaker.
That's why I'm laughing, yeah. So this could be somebody you even like just saw at a meeting once, or like a type of speaker, like someone who speaks in this way or whatever. Or Ernie, what would we sell on? Ernie D. Could be Ernie D.
I would say the Ramirez brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. The only reason why is I've never met them, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I'm talking about like recently, I'm not saying like, you know, 10 years ago, you know, but recently when I've heard them speak, they summarize the program well. And I'm not saying that they can't get into detail, right. But what I'm from as an observer in a meeting, I think they do really explain the program really well to newcomers.
Cool.
And I think you have to give them credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
But it took me a while to come up with that answer. So I think the real answer is no one.
Right. That's why I was laughing ahead of time. I was like, I don't know.
Okay. I don't really have one.
Okay. Top tier prayer.
As in like a written, an established prayer?
Whatever.
Yeah. So I don't follow that, right? So when I pray and I speak to God, it's whatever it's coming to, you know, to heart. There, you know, I don't really believe in something that's pre-written by somebody else and actually just recite.
Cool.
I don't. That's not how I communicate with my higher power. But
I love that about you.
No.
That's great.
Thanks.
So cool. We've talked about that before. So, yeah. Okay.
But hang on, just one thing I will say. When I was new in recovery, though, I had a really hard time believing in God. I had a really hard time figuring out a way to speak to God and bring God into my life. Mm-hmm. So having a written prayer helps at least get me started.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess the surrender prayer, if I had to pick one, I would pick that one only because it's something that we say often. It's easy to memorize.
Yeah.
Did I really know what I was saying? No. Right. And I remember when I was really struggling and I was new, I would sit down and really, I would get so rattled. I would have to Google the Serenity Prayer because it wouldn't come to my mind. And I would sit there and say, okay, how can I, you know, I would read it super carefully, super slowly. Say, how can I apply serenity into this? Right. Or to the situation. Right. Or mm-hmm. find gratitude in it or whatnot. So that helped, but it wasn't long before I realized that. Yeah, I'd rather just speak to God, you know, on my own terms.
Nice.
You? Do you have a favorite one? I guess you have your answer there.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
kind of similar to what you're saying, you know. Like, I would tell you the prayer that I use the most is something along the lines of asking that whatever stands in my way of being useful be removed.
Yeah, sure.
Direct big three, direct my thoughts, mm-hmm. my words, and my actions.
Oh my God, three more words.
Show me how to be
we're up to eight now.
Helpful. Show me how to be helpful. It's kind of just like all that mashed
sure.
into different combinations.
Yeah.
You know? Just shit like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I literally never once have been like, okay, St. Francis prayer on three.
Yes.
One, two. Yeah. I was just like, I've never once like been sitting by myself and been like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do the, you know, whatever prayer. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I fuck with what you were saying. It's just like, that's just, to me, it's like, I see the need and purpose and use and beauty of those things. But
sure.
But it's like, as a practical way for me to approach the power in a like utilitarian way, like this is me in the moment actually doing this and I'm here locked in and I'm present in this moment, I'm not mm-hmm. like thinking about anything else. I'm just like, God, what do I do? You know?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's very different. This conversation that we're having, imagine us having this like year one in recovery. Like, I think it'd be a very, very, all of our answers would be 100% different.
Right.
Heck, even year five, and right. It'd be a very different answer than like where we are today. Right. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure if you feel this way, but when the pandemic first hit, right. People stopped, in-person gatherings, right? And we switched to Zoom as a platform. And I really thought, like, what's going to happen to AA, right? Like, how are we going to pivot? And there was a good chunk of time where I almost got reinvigorated by the program. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it's because I was escaping the same discussions over and over again, right? With people in my relative community, right? And I was finding other people who are really focused on what the text actually says, what Alcoholics Anonymous and the authors were trying to explain to us, mm-hmm. right? And I think since then I've gotten, this might sound like a really weird way of saying this. I think I was able to receive more freedom.
Yeah.
More freedom in, I don't have to always be in a meeting. I don't have to always be sponsoring seven people because my one sponsor back in the day said seven is the right number, right? whatever, right? If I'm in peril, I have to pray this exact prayer, right? Because this is the right one, right? There's no more this, I have to do this a certain way for it to be effective in the right way.
Right.
That's not how I understand my higher power or the higher power works today. That's my interpretation.
Agreed.
So to have a certain prayer, is difficult, but I would agree with you towards the end of my prayer or whatnot, it does end up being like, God, just please help me, show me how I can serve the situation or the person to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
But something like that, right? So yeah.
Hell yeah.
Interesting.
Awesome. Okay.
Yes.
Top tier meeting format.
Going through the text.
Like a big book study kind of
no
thing.
Yeah, but an actual big book study.
I know, that's, you know, why I paused saying? I was like, a big book,
yeah. Yeah, an actual big book study. And you know what I always find interesting is when people spend a lot of time in big book studies reading the stories. Don't you find that interesting?
Interesting is one way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, what
I always think of is like the quintessential experience I had when I came back to AA, where it was like, I go to a big book study and I'm like looking for someone to sponsor me. And I'm just like listening to these people reading Bill's story and then stopping and going, I remember my uncle used to make bathtub gin. And, I used to listen to jazz music. It was just like, what the fuck? You're commenting on...
That's not
on
the big book study that I'm talking about.
You're not, you're...
Yeah.
This is not... We're not... If this is studying, we're not studying the right part, I don't think.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, big book, but more so an actual big book study. Okay. Yeah. So...
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Top tier big book chapter. So from Doctor's Opinion to Vision for You.
Doctor's Opinion.
Cool.
For me.
Hell yeah.
You?
You're a silky stan. I don't know. I don't think anyone's asked me.
Well, I just did.
Definitely two employers.
Yes, oh, two wives. I changed my answer. Yeah, so I'll tell you why, right? So my background is science, right? And at the time, I was between, do I stay in science or go to medical school? Like, what do I do? But at the same time, I couldn't figure out what the fuck was wrong with me, right, in my life. So I think having a medical doctor's opinion right in the front, really, cause, to be honest with you, I thought AA was a bunch of people, like a bunch of drunks who wear shades of gray and brown, living underneath a bridge, right? And somehow they like congregate in a church, something, it was a moldy church. I don't know. I just did not, I didn't think this was for me, right? And when I got the book, and actually at the time I was dating a guy who was in the rooms, and I opened the book and I saw Dr. Silkworth. I didn't really understand who he was or whatnot, but it started to give the program more credibility for me.
Yeah.
And just seeing like his perspective is pretty much 100% different than today's doctor's perspective,
right,
which I think is really funny. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think he does a good job, but I like that one, but I also like the part where where it talks about like you're the director arranging the ballet and the whole like section.
Yeah.
Because boy, does that describe me. And if you read that whole part in the first person, man, that hits hard. hits hard.
It does.
And not just, you know, like reading, thinking about it in terms of what I was like when I was drinking, like even today, like yeah. sometimes right. I can go, oh boy,
oops,
there I am, you know,
hell yeah,
there I am again.
Yeah, I think probably more about alcoholism or into action for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those two.
Yeah.
Because that's like where the biggest.
That's a good one too.
Those are like yeah. the biggest chunks of change for me, having an experience with more about alcoholism or having an experience with the directions and into action. It's just the biggest amount of change for me, you know, with the step one thing. And then particularly with the back quarter or third of into action, just like that's my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
for sure.
It, you know, if you were to like tell me day one, everything in your life that's good is going to come from page 84 of this book to basically like 103, like maybe not even that far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay. You know, but.
Yeah. And to be honest, if I'm completely honest, the stories don't do it for me. Right. Like, but basically doctor's opinion all the way to 103, I think. Right. But that's what ultimately hits for me the most. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But by far. So when I say big book, like big book study, right. We talk about that. I'm talking about those pages, like just for the audience.
So,
so we're 100% clear.
Let me ask you the last top tier here. Top tier personal story from the big book. So this could be cover to cover. Any personal anecdote in any portion. So first 164 also. Any personal story.
Don't have one? Mm-mm.
Okay.
You have one?
I like Fred. I like Fred's story.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, I like that. Well, so let me change it. The guy who hides out in the barn waiting to die.
No.
From your favorite chapter.
My favorite chapter.
Now, the longshoremen, they ask about newsreels of lunar footage or whatever the fuck. No,
oh my gosh.
No, I think Fred's good.
Yeah.
It's because it's just.
Yeah, so I think everybody says Fred. That's why it's not my favorite, right? Yeah. It's just like, okay, we get it, right? Like, okay. Right?
I mean, I really like the Carl Jung, Roland Hazard story. I think that's great.
Oh, yeah. I do like.
You should pick that one so you'll stop judging me.
No judgment. It's just overrated. Like, everyone picks that one because I think. That's the safe one to pick. I do like how they incorporated Ebby into Bill's story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of neat. Only because, I feel like Ebby meeting Bill and Bill meeting Ebby was like, how neat is that, right? That they formed that connection and then years later they were able to reestablish and how much that helped Bill, right? That was like, that's what started all this, right? So,
Hell yeah.
But I'm not sure that, you know, now I have a different perspective on the stories. Look what I did when I was newly sober. I thought they were incredibly boring, right? Like incredibly boring.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, but I'll go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Bottom tier.
Bottom tier what?
Caffeinated beverage.
Oh. Anything with a lot of caffeine, like anything, yeah. Like take
that's
five.
An easy one.
Is that a little
I don't,
one? Like a little
take
one?
Five.
Yeah. No, that's a candy bar, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you're thinking 5-hour energy.
The super concentrated.
Do like not take five of those.
No, do not. Yeah. So anything that's highly caffeinated.
Okay. All right. Bottom tier AA speaker.
Anyone who has not gone through the 12 step as outlined in the book, meaning
awesome.
Pages, literally meaning every soul that has not gone through it's fully doctor's opinion to page 103.
Love it. That's a great answer. Cause like, why do I want to hear from you in an AA meeting?
I don't. I really don't.
I really legitimately do not.
Yeah, I really don't.
It's the classic thing. It's like kind of the common theme through every episode of our podcast is like, why would they have the fucking girls soccer coach teaching math in high school? You know what I mean? I'm just like, there's a fucking person with a degree in mathematics who could be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
I don't know if they did that in your high school. They did it in mine.
I don't even like remember high school now. Oh, God. Feels like forever ago.
Oops.
But I heard somebody say once, and I couldn't, God, who said this? I feel like I should know this, but it doesn't matter. If you've never gone ziplining ever, right? And I have, how can you possibly tell me how to go ziplining?
Right.
The only thing you can tell someone else is, hey, Astrid has gone. Why don't you talk to her?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only experience that you have with ziplining, right? But not in the rooms, right? You know, I'll be sitting there and somebody will start saying, you know, commenting on their experience with step nine. I'm like, step nine, you haven't even done an amend.
Right.
What experience? Only experience you've had is sitting on your ass in a meeting and hearing about it.
Yeah.
It's very different, right? To humble yourself without crawling in front of somebody, right? And to actually go make an amends. Then you have some experience.
Yeah.
Right. You can then talk about ziplining, right? Because you've done it. Right, but
then you can be like, welcome to Ernie D's ziplining lecture.
Ziplining course.
Yeah. Okay.
Ziplining 101.
Bottom tier prayer.
I don't know that I have a specific one, right? But yeah, I guess I don't have one.
Okay.
No. Lame.
I could suggest one.
Okay.
I
guess I do have one. Like now that
do it.
Anything where it's like in the rooms or in general.
It's
in
whatever,
the rooms, yeah.
Whatever.
Where we start bringing religion into the rooms, like a religious prayer.
Yeah.
Because I think it turns people off. Right.
I fucking hate when meetings end with Hindu prayers. Like that's really offensive to me.
What? I was like, my God, what is happening right now?
You're talking about all the Hindi stuff in AA, right? okay. Bottom tier meeting format. I think I could guess.
Discussion. My God. Yeah.
Aimless
that
discussion.
Or that, yeah. And oh my God, I once went to a meeting. I'll never forget this. And they asked for two topics. I've never been to a meeting where they were asked for two topics. Usually it's like you read something and you have to understand where the place I got sober is a place where there's a lot of recovery, right? Yeah. So when I moved, they asked for two topics. And I thought that's odd. And what I was used to is you read the book and then you discuss it. Mm. Basically, you interpret it, right? Or you talk about how that happened to you or you experienced that or whatever.
Right.
And when I moved and they were asking for two topics, somebody goes, you know, having a really hard time. My daughter just, I think my was it someone's daughter, left for college. I'm really struggling. That was a topic in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not like parenting, like right. Parents of Collegiates Anonymous. Like what? You know?
Empty Nest Anonymous.
Unbelievable. And you know, the sad part for me was, I personally don't care, right? I mean, it's just a waste of my time. I can get up and leave. But what if there's somebody in that room and there had to have been, there's like 50 people sitting in that room. Mm-hmm. There's going to be somebody severely struggling there. And we're discussing a mom or a father, I forget,
right.
Feeling sad about their child not being in their house.
You
just excluded all the parents in that room, all the people that aren't parents, first of all, and anyone who doesn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with being an alcoholic? People that don't drink have the same feelings, by the way, just spoiler. Yeah. So,
groundbreaking revelation. Yeah. Non-drinkers experience loneliness, loss, grief, sadness.
Oh my God. Alcoholics cry, but only them.
Yeah.
So I would say discussion, but I will also say 12 and 12 studies, because my opinion, they pick it because it's a shorter chapter, right? It's easier to read in a meeting. Yeah. And they think that those then are the 12 steps, right? And it's just not. Yeah. I'm assuming that you feel the same way.
I do.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, bottom tier big book chapter.
The stories, I guess.
Well, we got to go from a vision for you back to the doctor's opinion. Just that chunk.
Sure. Okay, the actual chunk.
Yeah.
Bill's story, maybe? Is that right? Where I picked that? Only because it took me years to actually understand it.
Yeah.
Years. Because I don't think my sponsorship at that time fully grasped it.
Really?
Yeah. So it took me a really long time to actually find someone that can actually explain it to me. Yeah. So I would say Bill's story.
Okay. So last one is bottom tier personal story from the book.
The whole back end. The thing that makes it the big book, yeah.
Right. The thing without which it would be a small book.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It'd be like a little pamphlet, essentially, a larger pamphlet. You know, I do get the point of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So if you think about when the book was written, the meetings didn't exist, right? So they had people were reaching out going, oh my gosh, like I live, I don't know, in St. Louis. There's no such thing as an AA meeting here, but you guys seem to have figured something out in the Cleveland Akron area. Could you send me a book or some literature or something? So they would ship a book, right? Like to have these stories where people are reading going, hey, I can relate to this, right? And this person seems to have gotten well. I get that, right? I just don't believe in it as this is the, but this is, you know what? I'm going to add something to one of your questions. I also don't like leads.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was expecting earlier.
Yeah. I forgot about, I don't know. I forgot about, but I guess this should show you how little leads I go to. Right.
Right, yeah.
Because it turns into you telling me about your childhood, about everything, but the fundamentals of where you struggled in the program and how you overcame it, or, you know, what you did with the 12 steps, whatever. It's just, it's everything but that.
Right.
And it becomes a popularity contest, essentially. So who's speaking?
Right.
You know, and yeah, you know,
yeah, sucks.
It's not, it's, yeah, it's, it really does suck for sure. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Please describe your experience in AA in one word.
Humbling.
Hmm.
If I could have two words, I would say extremely humbling.
Hmm.
You?
Freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Humbling's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many times my ego had to get busted. No, please understand, it doesn't mean I'm a completely humble person, you know, but boy, you know, some of those fourths and fifths, geez.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or even tenths, right? How many times somebody had to bust my ego to go, you know what, this is not how we do this. God had to show me something, you know, and I'm one of those folks where I'm not a quick learner. I'm not a quick study, so I really have to feel some pain before I go, hey, look.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah. Well, this is an awesome chat. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. This is great.
Lovely to see your face again.
I thought it was.
Yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I hope you had a good time.
I sure did. This is awesome.
Hell yeah.
This has been a podcast greater than yourself.
Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.